ABC AFL Daily is the best conversation in footy. Hosted by Corbin Middlemass and Ben Cameron, alongside regulars like Mick Malthouse.
I mean, I don't remember too many games, but it's one of the ones I remembered. It was just that physical.
Bob Murphy.
Where do you guys get off thinking you can pick and choose?
And more, it keeps you in the loop with the biggest stories in the AFL and the number one analysis in the game. ABC AFL Daily, 5 eps a week on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Oh, yes, there it is. There it is. In terms of scoring in World Cup finals, you are looking at the greatest of all time.
We have long ago run out of words for this bloke. There are no more superlatives left. Lionel Messi with another accolade today. And if he's the personification of individual greatness, Scotland's tartan army is the collective version, a heady concoction of bagpipes, kilts, beers, sing-alongs and traffic cones have won American hearts and minds. We're talking to the captain of the tartan army. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup special. Hamish Husband is the captain of the tartan army, the kilt-clad, plaid-wearing Scotsmen who have no doubt been all over your social media feed because they are just about the best thing at the World Cup so far. Hamish, I just wanted to understand, what is it like to be universally adored so far from home?
Well, we've been universally adored in Europe, but never in another continent, because football is for us a European sport, and we haven't been in the World Cup since 1998. And in 1998, we were awarded the freedom of the city of Bordeaux on our visit for the Norway game. And then we had all these years where other countries like yourselves were there. But we were at the Euros 2 years ago and in Germany, and the 200,000 Scots took over Germany. There's now a Cologne tartan army. The Burgermeister, the mayor of Munich, wanted to create an annual game. Let's keep it a secret. We're not particularly good at football. We did invent football more than the English, but these past years we've not been particularly good, but the tartan army are the best fans in the world.
The march on Fenway Park, the famous baseball ground in Boston. That was a thing of beauty. Were you surprised by the love and the embrace of the Americans?
Obviously we beat Haiti, but that's just another soccer match. But when we marched 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 strong, I know that they have a big Irish tradition and they'll have that on St. Patrick's Day, but this march to the world famous Boston Fenway Stadium, and then we took over the stadium with our singing. You'll know cricket more than the Scots do, but most of the time you'll sit there sleeping and getting drunk. Whereas any song that came on the commercial break, we just kept going. And that's what changed it for us in Boston and that area and throughout the USA, and it looks like around the world. We are the centre of attraction, unlike a football team.
I've got to understand the bagpipes from a logistical standpoint. Obviously, a logical part of Scottish fandom. Can you explain, is it a challenge getting them on planes, through customs, etc.?
Well, in the past World Wars, they were seen as a weapon against the enemy, against the Germans. No, not particularly. They're cheaper than golf clubs. What you do have to do is register them to get in the stadiums, and that's what you do in the Euros. They are synonymous. Scotland is world famous. We're a tiny nation, but it's bagpipes, whiskey and kilts, isn't it? And now the tartan army.
There's one part you've left out of those brands, and that's the orange traffic cones, or witches' hats that we call them here. You know, I've seen them in videos everywhere. They're on fans' heads. More often than that, they're on statues' heads. Is there something significant about that from a Scottish point of view, aside from the fact that it's just clearly great banter?
Well, that came from the Duke of Wellington. There's a statue in Glasgow, and going back about 30-odd years, this cone, traffic cone, appeared on the statue, and the authorities would always take it off. And in the end, it became a tourist attraction and they gave up. And I'm not sure who did the first one, but wherever you went, there were statues. Let's see, the most famous Scotsman in our history is Robert Burns, who wrote Auld Lang Syne. And I paid tribute. There was a statue in Boston. And about down and out of nowhere became my father and son, and he produced his bagpipes. And I believe an hour later, there was, goodness knows how they did it, there was a cone on. Robert Burns had said, now that is a mark of achievement. That was our staking our claim. I'm from a small town called Ayr, and the chairman of our local football club, and it's not particularly big, him and his vice chairman have flown to the USA in a single propeller plane. Now, I don't know if they're getting the cones through customs, because when they left, we told them to bring some more.
I've read that at times the Tartan Army has drunk certain bars of Boston Dry. Is that a fact?
Yes, we warned them. We did warn them, and surely they're used to St. Patrick's Day. And if we can outdrink the Irish, that tells you something. I was in Providence, which is in Rhode Island, and exactly the same thing happened in the Moonshine Bar. And the locals just lapped it up. And in the end, we couldn't buy any drinks. There was the other thing about the Tartan Army. We have the oldest, believe, the oldest football international charity in the world, in the Tartan Army Sunshine Appeal, who've been 112 donations since 2003, have donated £400,000. And they donated in Boston, and the Providence Tartan Army, they donated to our $10,000 to a children's charity. We have won the hearts and minds of the locals. What we're hearing here, slightly disturbingly, is the police haven't been pre-warned, and the attempts at putting cones on statues is going. Don't seem to have a sense of humour here, but we'll see what happens tomorrow. And we're playing the Brazilians, along with Argentina, the most famous fans in the world, and we've played them on numerous occasions. And there is, I believe, a great affinity with them, even though we're possibly only the size of a suburb in Rio de Janeiro.
On the field, a win over Haiti, a defeat to Morocco. As you say, Brazil looming next in Miami. Jogo Bonito is their footballing philosophy, which I think translates to play beautifully. I think you guys party beautifully, but what's the Scottish mentality or style, perhaps?
Believe it or not, it was a Scotsman called Charles Miller who introduced football and the passing game to Brazil and Argentina. We have a history. The trouble is, we taught them how to play football, and they've won all these World Cups. Perhaps along with the Brazilians and the Argentinians, the best fans in the world, but we're distinct.
And how are you mixing with those fans? That sounds like a pretty fun time, Brazil, Scotland together.
I mean, I was at the World Cup 1990 in Italy, and we have our bagpipes. They have their samba bands, and a lot of colour. They're dancers, and I'm not sure they're drinkers. We'll wait and see. But the South Americans, on the whole, whichever nation, they're amazing. I've been lucky enough to go to Peru to an international football match when Scotland played there. The atmosphere is completely different. And now we can watch football from around the world. It's more the fans from South America that interest me than the football. And I've been convinced that the fans over there will be aware of who the Scottish fans are. The game is one thing, because we've never beaten Brazil. And as we're driving through the States coming down here, we're all working out the permutations of how we can qualify as one of the eight teams that go through as the third best.
And what do you need against Brazil to get through to the next phase?
Hopefully three Brazilians get yellow cards, I think, is our best chance. And hopefully one of them is the goalkeeper. We need a bit of luck. We drew with them in 1974, and we should have won. They beat us in 1990, when I'm not convinced they wanted to beat us. It was a very lucky goal. All the other home nations have beaten them. It's our turn. I'm not convinced this will happen. I would love us to have a draw to send us. I've got tickets for the last 32 and the last 16, and I'm hoping that for the first time ever, all the other countries, major countries, have qualified for the knockout stages, and we haven't. And if they don't, I'll be very, very angry.
You've waited 36 years between wins at a World Cup. It must have stirred the emotions, getting that victory over Haiti.
Well, I was at the Sweden game in Italy all these years ago, and what an atmosphere. And the pleasing thing was, I'm an old guy. I've been and seen it and done it. And this new generation of Scotland fans, and international football has changed. There's so many families, and I'm amazed at the number of young kids and babies and prams. They might not get to the game, but they're over here in the USAS supporting Scotland. That's an amazing thing, an amazing achievement, not only for a football team, but for our football fans.
It's clear that America loves the Tartan Army. I'm just wondering if the love is resulting in any members of the army potentially finding love, and maybe they won't be returning home to Scotland. Maybe they're going to be permanent fixtures in the United States.
We played in Argentina in 1978, and there was always rumours that Scotsmen did stay there. And we only became aware of one who returned and went back. And I know there was some in 1974. There was a guy we played in West Germany, Frankfurt, and a guy stayed and opened up a bar. We thought America was such an unhappy place. And most of us didn't particularly want to come. There was a lot of issues with Esther's and social media, and we've discovered it's quite a happy place in the end. I think it's an amazing country. It's the second best nation in the world. I think the first is Scotland. I think Australia's third, no offence.
We're just happy to be on the podium. As you mentioned, you've won over Boston. You've only had a little taste of Miami so far. How are they comparing? Maybe not quite on the same page?
The issue will be the sheer scale of Miami. Boston is not unlike Glasgow. It's quite compact. Providence was even smaller. But Miami is relative, I'm going to say, more massive. I've been to Florida twice before. Nobody walks on the pavements. And we walk down to a restaurant, and that's a unique thing here. We'll take the bars, I'm sure, and it'll just be different. It will be different.
One thing that won't be different is the anthem. No one does it better. Why are you guys so good when it comes to the anthem? Is it just the quality of the song, or is it the nature of those who are singing it?
You know, it's not even our official anthem, and it started off as a rugby one at Murrayfield, done more passionately than us, and it's, I know it took off in the Euros, it's just, well, you've got to watch you don't strain your throat at my age, but it did hit the headlines, Flower of Scotland, and there were so many Scots in the Haiti game, it was a lot easier to get tickets, and I would have said, there must have been 40,000 Scots in there, very few Haitians. And it was one of the stewards we saw, he was writing down the words. So at the Haiti game, it was a Haitian steward, and he was working at the Morocco game. He wrote down the words so he could sing it along with us.
Just goes to show you're winning fans across the globe. Appreciate your time, Hamish. We will be cheering Scotland on against Brazil. Hopefully we could see you guys into the round of 32.
Well, don't book me for the final, maybe just the semi-final.
The ABC's Amanda Shalala has had a tough afternoon witnessing greatness in Dallas. Amanda, I've long since run out of superlatives for the 38-year-old Argentine. Have you got any for what you just witnessed?
Probably not, but I'll do my best, Stacky. There were a whole lot of people that went to the stadium today praying, hoping to see this. People who had come from all corners of the world that I bumped into on the way to the stadium, from Vietnam, China, many Australians as well as plenty of locals and Argentines too, who made the trip from South America. This is what they came here to see. They wanted to see Messi break this record, wanted to see his brilliance in action in what will likely be his last World Cup. It is such a privilege to have been a part of that and to have experienced that, because he just keeps bringing it to new levels. He's about to turn 39, and yet he is still in a place where he can control a game, he can change a game, and he can conjure up the most magical moments that will live in everyone's memory for a very, very long time.
This truth is stranger than fiction. There were four or five Austrians in the way, but he found a way, because he works miracles, and he is Lionel Messi.
We have this ongoing conversation, who is the greatest of all time? Is it Messi? Is it Ronaldo? Right now, that doesn't really matter. What matters is this is a man who has achieved everything in his career. He's one of the best ever to play this game, has brought so much joy, so much inspiration to many, many millions of people all around the world through his incredible feats on the pitch. And now, no matter how long this record stands for, it could very well be broken this tournament by Kylian Mbappe. That doesn't matter. He's just added another chapter to this extraordinary legacy. He's brought all these people together from all these different parts of the world and made us a part of a moment that just goes through your body in the most unbelievable way and makes you think, how can sport do this? But it does. We see it time and time again. Sport can do this to us. It brings out the most intense, unreal emotions. And Messi manages to pull that out of regular, ordinary people more than almost anyone ever in the history of the game.
Was there a sense when you're sort of talking to the fans who have gone to such extreme lengths to be there for this moment of a kind of deity or idol worship that is sort of just on another level to anything you maybe have seen over a couple of decades covering sport at World Cups, Olympic Games, what have you?
So everywhere I was going around Dallas in the days leading up to this match, there are Messi jerseys everywhere. That's par for the course, right? When you have someone at that level, it just becomes a very normal thing. The jersey's sold every corner of the world and everyone wears it. But I've never seen it quite to this extreme, to actually be in a World Cup city where he's about to play a game. And the last minute rush to get jerseys as well. There's street sellers everywhere just flogging them, getting whatever price they wanted. Because even if people didn't have tickets to the game, they were in the same atmosphere as him. They were just feeling the same moment as everybody else. So there was definitely a frenzy and a rush just to be a part of this in some way, shape or form. And yes, people understand the significance of it, particularly those from Argentina who I spoke to. They told me about how football is basically a religion there. And I know we say that about a lot of different countries, but I do think it hits a little bit differently, particularly when you get to the South American countries or Mexico, like when I was there as well, but particularly in Argentina, to have had Maradona and for them to have lived through that and his greatness, and now to have another like Messi, it is something nobody is taking for granted. This very, very likely, I'd be very surprised if he's back in 4 years' time, this will likely be it here. And so when people bought these tickets as well, the many thousands of dollars they would have shelled out, they would have been banking on seeing him, but not knowing whether or not this would have been the game that he could break the record. So it is really the cherry on top for everyone who has been able to experience it.
Argentina needed like absolutely everything to go right for Messi to win closer to his peak at 34, 4 years ago. So I think the expectation for them coming into this tournament was a nation that could contend, but they weren't on the top line of favouritism with France, Spain, to a lesser extent, England. Is that shifting?
I think with what we've seen from Messi, yes. Austria was actually really good in this game. They held out Argentina for large periods. They challenged them. They pressed. They just lacked that killer instinct in front of goal and couldn't create any really quality chances in front of goal. Whereas Messi only had a couple of chances and he puts them away. He didn't touch the ball that much. We know the way he plays, and particularly now as he gets older, even more so. He likes to sit back. He watches everything that's going on and he's just patient and waits for his moment and waits to pounce. And the fact that he's still able to do it at this level, playing 90 minutes, that's just something that I don't think many could have fathomed coming into this tournament. We do know the value he still brings to this side, but some were thinking, can he still bring it to this intensity, to this level? He's playing in the MLS now. In America, a bit of a lesser league, but he loves it. This is what he was made for. He loves the big stage. Not that he's a showboat or anything like that. He was very gracious at the end of this game, really taking time to acknowledge the fans and to soak up the moment. But he is a competitor. He is elite in everything that he does. So anyone who would have been writing him off before this tournament will look like a fool right now. Will they still look like a fool at the end? I don't know. But the way things are tracking at the moment, if he can keep producing what he's producing, then why not? They could go all the way again.
Hey, does the contrast to Ronaldo and Portugal's early struggles amplify what we're seeing from this guy?
Oh, definitely. I mean, these two have been going at it for their entire careers, haven't they? Who is the greatest? Who will end their career as the best of all time, the greatest of all time? And Ronaldo is 2 years older. That's important to note. He's 41. And once you're getting over the mid-30s mark, every year does make a very big difference. But he failed to make any sort of impact in Portugal's first match. And there are a lot of people questioning, why is he still starting in this team? Should he be starting? Maybe it's best to leave him as an impact player off the bench. Is it his ego that getting in the way of that, or a manager that's too scared to bench him? We don't know. These are all the questions everyone's asking. So I think we've got to give Ronaldo some grace in that he is a little bit older. But I think in the way that Messi has carried himself throughout his career, and his personality is something that has made him a little bit more likable for the masses, whereas Ronaldo has had a bit more of ego about him, and why not? That's what's made him so great. Yes, the debate will rage and continue throughout this tournament. Ronaldo gets his chance tomorrow against Uzbekistan. I'll be at that game in Houston. So can see, you know, does he still have it or not? But right here, right now, if we're talking about who's still got it, who's still at the very top of their game, it definitely is Messi and not Ronaldo.
Amanda Shalala, Messi one day, Ronaldo the next. It's a tough job. Someone's got to do it. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ducky.
Headlines. If Scotland's fans are the best in the tournament, Norway has to be in the mix for second. Did you see the vision of Times Square? Shut down by the men and women in red and white rowing an imaginary Viking boat. Those fans were able to celebrate a 3-2 win over Senegal, especially Erling Haaland, who now has 4 goals from 2 games for the tournament so far. He scored multiples in his last 6 official outings for Norway. It wasn't just the Vikings who were partying on the street either. Egyptian striker Mo Salah celebrating his nation's first ever World Cup win by getting around his fans. Love to see. Finally, Algeria, too strong for Jordan in the last game of the day. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup special produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to SBS, STV News, Max Bratter Sport, and Matt Wilkinson and Connor Ryan on social media for the extra audio used in this episode.